Hey, I'm glad you're here today. I am. In fact, at my age, I'm glad to be any place. Take your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 36. There's nothing like seeing a new baby. Man, I should have kept that baby up here. I just, me and him, we're going to be buddies, amen. I was at camp, and guess what? Now, there's two things I'm trying to think of. Either the parent said, get away from me and go sit by the preacher, or the kid said, I love my preacher, and they come sit. We had a boatload of kids around me. I mean, they were peanut buttering on me and jelly on me and taters and, huh, man, they're a mess, amen. And I loved it, amen. And me and Mama, we just sat there and ate and laughed and giggled and spit food and just had a good time together, amen. There's nothing like seeing a baby. Nothing like seeing a baby born. There is the most incredible thing in the world. I'm going to have a brand new baby. Pretty cool. Let's say a year old. Raise your hand. You don't have a year old baby. Grandbaby, all right. I'm going to have a, personally, you're a mama or daddy. Would you please stand up? You got a baby that is a year old or under. This is a good church, amen. You can be seated. I was in a church just last week. Nobody could have had a baby. Abraham and Sarah couldn't even have had a baby at that church, amen. They're so old, amen. It's good to have a church that got babies, amen. You know, it's good to be a baby Christian, too. Ezekiel tells what God said. He said, I want to do something here. He said, I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgment and do them. He said in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of the flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Man, that's good reading, amen. It's enjoyment to know that God said, hey, I'm going to tell you something. I can do something miraculously. When Jesus Christ met Nicodemus came to Jesus by night looking for the way of salvation and life. Jesus says, come in. He walks in. He sits down. We surmise that. And Jesus said to him, what are you doing here? He said, good master, we know there's something about you. No man can do these miracles that thou doest. And Jesus turned right to him and says, except a man be born again, or born from above, ye cannot, what? See heaven. Then later, the Bible says, except a man, Jesus said to him again. He said, and of course, Nicodemus said, how can that be? I'm old. I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. Duh. And Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and the spirit. The water is when a baby is born, water birth. Then the spiritual birth, born from above. He will not enter into heaven. There's nothing so great as to see someone who invites Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when they do, the Bible says, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's a change. There's a difference in their life. Now, let me ask you this. If you're here today and you call yourself a Christian and your life has not changed since you've invited Jesus Christ, or, quote unquote, you said you became a Christian. I talked to a fellow the other day, and on the plane, he said, well, I've been a Christian all my life. I was born a Christian. I said, that's interesting. I said, this is what the Bible says. Oh. There's two births. If you're born once, you'll die twice. You'll die the physical death and then you'll go to hell and burn forever. If you're born twice, you only die once. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's wrong with heaven? Amen. So, Christianity is something just not poof out there. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship to God that says, I invite your son who you sent to this world, who died on the cross, shed his blood, went to the grave, raised out of that grave on the third day,
And if you believe that record, that gospel, that good news, you'll be saved. That's what Jesus said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not much to it. Jesus did it all. The man hanging next to Jesus on the cross, he said, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. That's incredible, isn't it? Isn't that wonderfully simple? Some persons talked about the simplicity of salvation. But oh, once a person gets saved, the grandeur, the things that come with it. A tall, well-dressed gentleman was going to a meeting. He was riding on a train, and as the train pulled up to town, as he was getting off, as he stopped, a little boy came out on the platform with a basket and fruit, shouting, apples, oranges, 5 cents, 3 for a dime. Some thoughtless passengers rushed by them and with their baggies caught his little basket and dumped all the basket out on the ground. And a Christian gentleman got off the train and he saw the situation at a glance and put down his baggage and stopped and stooped over and picked up and helped the little boy pick up his fruit. And the boy was a dirty little boy, ragged, street urchin. He'd been cuffed and cursed and kicked around and spit upon, but he'd never been treated so kindly in his life. The stranger, with his act of kindness, completely overwhelmed the little boy, and as he stood against that breathless moment, the stranger took out some coins out of his pocket and handed it to the little boy. And that little boy, with inquiring eyes, looked up and says, Mister, be you Jesus? Mister, with tears coming up, be you Jesus? And the gentleman says, no, son, I'm just one of his boys. I'm just one of his boys.
Amen.
That poor, dirty little street urchin recognized in the stranger's family resemblance. It is not the question of your family training or your money or where you went to school or where you're from. It is the characteristic that you exhibit as one of God's sons. If you have been definitely, positively, and instantaneously generated and converted, if you have been scripturally and dramatically changed from the old life to new life into the family of God, you will naturally bear the family resemblance. The other day I was at Hope Baptist Church and I was walking out and someone says, hey, you look just like your dad. I said, what do you mean? He says, the way you walk. You drag that one right foot. My mom was pick your feet up. She used to say to me, you need to pick your feet up. Not me, man. I'm very that right foot. I want people to know I'm coming. If I had my spurs on, I'd rake them. Amen. First of all, when a person becomes born from above, he receives, number one, a new heart. God said, I'll take that old stony heart of you and I'll give you a heart of flesh. One of the first results in the new birth. God said that. In Ezekiel chapter 36. Let me tell you, the greatest need of the present day is heart religion. We have a lot of head professions, but I'm praying that God will give us some heart professions. There was some shoddy contractor, who literally, we call them scabs. Some of the people in construction know what I'm talking about. They're the guys that go in They buy material and put it on your tab, and then they take that same material and take it home with them. And then they charge the next family that they're building for, and they take some of your material and put it in their house. It's called scabbing. I totally detest that. There are some contractors who will bill you for material, and they don't need it for your house. They'll take it somewhere else. They've learned tricks of covering up flaws and defective materials with carpet and tar and sheetrock. Not to say that you would do that, my brother. George, you awake there?
Yeah.
Not that you would do that. He's a sheetrocker. I love him because I hate sheetrocking. Amen. And putty and paint, and they cover it up and they hide it. But the end, the homeowner gets stiffed. And sometimes they do things that cannot be fixed, and they have to pay way more the second time to get it fixed right than they did in the first place. Sometimes the craftsmanship is so bad, it cannot even be straightened or repaired. And that family never recoups their loss for trusting a contractor who should have never been in the business in the first place. Amen or oh me. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're quote-unquote Christians. They call themselves Christians, but they're not Christians. No way. A car may be beautiful design and the horn may sound well, but the real test is the hill. Travel bus may be nicely painted and well cushioned, but the question, can it climb the hill and with loaded passengers? You see, the machinery under the hood really tells the true test. And the heart of a man really tells the true test of his Christianity. So in supreme test of religion, so does the tongue. Because the tongue speaks of what is full in the heart. Or the outward soul has nothing really to do with it. It's the heart. James talked about that. You know, true Christian. True Christian is one who looks after the fatherless and the widows in need and lives unspotted by the world. They want nothing to do with the world and their practice. That's true Christianity. Oh, man, I see a lot of people, they want to dress like the world. Actually, that's not dressing. That's just taking the dress off. Amen. They want to talk like the world and want to be tough like the world, and they want to have their little energy drinks with alcohol in them, but they're cool Christians, you know. We have all heard and witnessed mouth religion and tongue rattling and showy pretenses, but the most important thing is a heart with purity and holiness. What is wrong with us Christians today? We go with the world. We just go with the flow instead of saying, no, I'm not going there. This is where I'm headed. I'm telling my Sunday school class, there's a guy that went to Vietnam. He's a Christian kid. And when we got there, he was bombarded by filth and immorality and all kinds of things. He said, no, I will not. And he had the thought all the time as Daniel. I will not defame myself. I will not eat the king's food, nor will I drink his wine. All of a sudden, after all this bombardment meanness by his fellow soldiers, they got in a scrap, they got in a battle. And it was terrible. Guys were dying left and right. And now, the guys are crying, hey, Rev! They called him Rev. Pray for me! I'm dying! Yeah. Hey, you know what? When everything's going good, the whole world goes like that to you. But boy, when things are not going good, they say, hey, I need some help. I remember a college president, they had great standards and, boy, great things. And this is what you did and this is what you could do. And the people in town, they laughed at that school and poked fun at that school because the girls wore dresses and they were always modest. The men looked like men, the girls looked like girls. And this is what a business does. You know what? We don't like your school because of that, but we sure like the product. Isn't that the way it is? Hey, you raise your little girl up immorally. You make sure that she always is very careful about her deportment, about the opposite sex. Boy, you're really careful about that. Hey, who wants her? Everybody wants her. Same with the Christian life. They may not like you at work, But they know they're going to get their straight 8 hour of work with you. They know you're going to be there early. They know you're going to work late. They know that anything they want of you. There's a deputy on our sheriff's office, a young guy, just sweetest guy, and he's a Christian man, married, doesn't do certain things, doesn't go with certain things, you know, just. And I heard some of the deputies talking, and one of them said, "Hey, you know what about that guy? I know he doesn't run around with us, but boy, if you ask him, he will do it." What a tremendous testimony. What a great testimony. Hey, you know what? You don't get that by just running around doing crazy stuff. You get there by being faithful to the Word of God. Amen. When you get saved, there's a change. There's a difference. There's a new heart. Many people would do well to pray. This is the Psalm 119, verse 80. "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." You can take a criminal, and you can take a university professor, and feed them the choice vegetables, and the best cereals, and exercise them regularly, and give them well-ventilated rooms, and place them in the very best surroundings. But the heart will remain sinful until God has given the opportunity to regenerate it by the driving power of the new birth. There is absolutely no power in surroundings, nor influences, nor food. Only the new birth can make a Paul out of a Saul, a saint out of a drunkard. So wonderful and the transforming that wrought in a man by the new birth that the entire world seemed different and life takes on new meanings. Buddy, when you get saved, my mama used to say, "Man, he really, really got saved." I've seen people get saved, but I've seen some people that really, really got saved. My cousin Bruce, this last week I was with him, and I led him to the Lord at my cousin Dwayne's funeral, and just before Dwayne died, Dwayne says, "I'm really worried about my brother-in-law." I said, "I'm going over to see him." They live next door in a trailer. I went over to see him, sat down with him, and gave him the plan of salvation, which he had gotten many times. And with tears coming down his eyes, he said, "You know, Sheldon, I need to do that." And right there, that's Jesus in his heart. All of a sudden, they start going to church. Funniest thing, never go to church. All of a sudden, they started tithing. All of a sudden, they started reading their Bible. Never did that before. What happened? "There's been a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great, great change since I've been born again." It changed. So I go to see him last week, and I say to him, I said, "Bruce, how you doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "I've quit my drinking." By the way, he was a class A alcoholic. It had to be in his blood, or he couldn't survive a day. You've seen him. He said, "I have not touched a drip since I've been saved. Since the day you talked to me, I'm talking." He said, "Now," he said, "I can't say I've stopped sinning." I said, "I ain't going to tell you about me. I haven't either." But he said, "You know what? There's been a change." I said, "That's good. Because there has to be a change. Because God lives in your heart and you have a new spirit in your life. Before you had the spirit of the Satan, the deviant one who wants to deviate you from the truth. Now your eyes are open." Amen. There's a longing. There's absolutely no power in surrounding influence. Only the new birth. Only in birth to change. God is loved supremely. His will becomes the supreme desire of our heart. His word becomes precious. The hour of prayer is strengthening and refreshing. There is a longing to assemble. Listen to me now. There's a longing to assemble with God's people in the church house and to share the blessings of Christian fellowship. "Hey, do you know what happened to me the other day?" And you go tell the guy, your buddy, and you tell him about the blessings you've got. That's what church is about. We've come out of the world. We came in church. And now we speak the things of God here. Amen. There should never be hatred. There should be never envy. There should be meanness in the church. It ought to be sweetness. Amen. Sweetness in God's name. "Hey, good to see you. Relationships are the most important things of life. All the things. People think take things from you, take away things from you. Let me tell you something. Things are things. You need the sweetness of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Hey, things go wrong. People go wrong. Kid goes wrong. I need the fellowship of my church to let me know that, hey, you know what? It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to have a bad day. Amen? Secondly, not only do you have a new heart, but you have a new relationship. I've been reading Revelation lately, and many times I take my MP3 player and stick it. I know I take the ear pod. What do they call them things?
Earbud,
yes. Stick that thing in my ear, and I go to sleep listening to the Bible. I've been doing listening to Revelation. I've been reading Revelation. And the other day, I'm in Michigan. I'm in bed, and I'm tired. I just got home from camp. Anytime you go to camp with second, third, fourth grade, and fifth grade kids, you're tired. Then you got some sixth grade kids in there that really wear you out, amen. And I'm tired, but I put that, and all of a sudden I read this script. I listened to the scripture. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. I want to look at you. Would you please look in your Bible or your iPad or whatever you're carrying to read? Don't text while I'm preaching. But I don't mind you using your thing to read out of the Bible, amen. Many times I get people out in the auditorium, they'll send me a text and it comes right on my deal. What a blessing. Don't try it. Rob, I see your brain just smoking there. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, in other words, he is it. Unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Nobody else can do that, right? And look what it says. And hath made us what? I heard that. I'm about to come out of bed.
I'm a king. I'm a king. Yes, I've read it a million times. I'm a king. Yeah. Hey, y'all, you ask these in your heart, you're a king. I like that. Hey, King Rick. King Sheldon here.
You're a king. Now remember, he said, I'm the faithful witness. In other words, what he says is true. Right?
Yep.
And he's the one to forgive my sins. And because of his blood shed on the cross, he said, hey, you are a king. King Tom.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Sounds better. King Racy. King Pat. Wow. How many heard that we had a brand new baby over in England? What's that baby's name? Come on. George! Come on. We're her kids. You know it. Whether you like it or not. We came to England. He'll probably be their apparent, won't he? He'll probably be King George. Everybody got so excited about it. The tabloids are going crazy. Oh, every TV, everybody. Thank God I was in camp, didn't see it, amen. But I'm telling you, brother, that I am a king. So I suppose I better act like a king and not a slob. If I'm a king, how many remember watching Harry grow up and what's the other one's name? Huh? William. Do you know that every spotlight was on them all the time they were growing up? And they had the best, and they were taking care of the best, and they were primped and proper, and you name it, right? Did anybody ever question that William
was a potential to be a king, not a one. And for the most part, he has acted that way. Now, Charles, he had some problems. My Bible says, I have a new relationship when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I am a king. And number two, I am a what? A priest. I'm a priest. I know all the scandals and all the junk's going on out there, and that is not the way a priest should act. Amen? It grieves me. It grieves me, the filth and the dirt that they have perpetrated and said, we are priests. You listen to me. God said, we're priests. That's why we Baptists believe in the what they call the priesthood of the believer. I don't need someone to ask forgiveness of my sins. I do it myself. That's all that is. When a man comes forward, we don't go up and say, let me pray for you, and what's wrong with you? No. No. They do it themselves. Many times people say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I said, you know what? You can pray just as much as I can. I'll tell you what. You and I both pray. But you have just as much power before God Almighty and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit than I do. You understand that? Because God said, I am a king. You're looking at King Cedar right here. And bless God, I'm going to act like a king. Because I am representing, and he calls me an ambassador, I am representing God Almighty, Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who never thought of sin, who is perfect. Boy, I got a lot of work to do. I don't think King Jesus will light up. I don't think King Jesus is dead. I don't think King Jesus would take booze. I don't think King Jesus would smoke marijuana or all that other junk you can smoke or take or whatever. I don't think he'd do that. Do you? And if I'm a king, and I represent the king and the king's family, I better straighten up my act and fly straight, amen? You are no different than Prince William and his wife and little George. You're in the king line. Do you remember when Charles and Diana were fighting? That was inappropriate, amen? Wasn't it? She went out and was immoral. He was immoral. Was that inappropriate? And the world, though they were doing it themselves, scorned them because they were king material. And you and I know that we were very disappointed. Hello? So what do you think tomorrow when you go to work and you start acting like Satan and the devil, that he's your father and still King Jesus is my father? Pretty disappointing, wouldn't it? How would you like the paparazzi and the tabloids start telling about your life? You couldn't even stand it becoming the President of the United States, though they are pretty, some of them pretty bad. You'd have a real hard time with it. I'm just trying to get the point. Have I got the point across yet? Shall I go to the next point? Or you want me to stay here for a while? You said, yeah, go ahead. 12 o'clock, you got to quit anyway. You remember, I haven't been preaching for two weeks here. I've been preaching all over, but I haven't preached. So you need some more. There's a new relationship to have. New birth, new heart. I've been born again. New relationship. I'm a king. I'm a prince. Oh. John said, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him,
For we shall see him as he is. Before we were born again, we were children of Satan. Jesus is giving the parable of the sower, of the seed. And he talks about it. And he said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. God said, I want you to know that I'm destroying the works of the devil in you when you accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Hallelujah about that. If you promise to come back tonight, I promise I'll preach you the rest of it. Let's pray. Father, a new heart, a renewed relationship. God, we, so many times we fail. So many times we go against the principles of this blessed book. We go against the Spirit of God that works in our heart and says, no, 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 no. And we just trudge through it. We trash the name of the King. We make ourselves a spectacle to others who say, so that's what a Christian is like. So that's what the King's family is like. Oh God, would you please help us today? That if we're not saved, that today would be that day that we invite you to be our Savior. And Lord, if we have been saved and the Spirit of God is bombarding us with Scripture and saying, no, 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 or do, 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 or go, go, go. May we, Lord Jesus, hit this altar today and say, dear God, if the preacher's right and the Scripture's right, and it says I'm a king, and it says I'm the prince, I'm a priest, and that I have a new heart, oh God, help me to start living it instead of talking it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There has not been a time in your life that you've invited Jesus Christ to save you. I'm telling you right now, you're headed for hell. If there's not been a great change in your heart and your life, and you just said the words and you didn't some way, somehow get it, my suggestion is you get it today. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Let me tell you something. Death comes very quickly. Some 93, lived a good life, loved the Lord, and in some, their life is snuffed out at 1, at 18, at 23, at 70. There's no way my cousin could have called upon the name of the Lord to be saved that moment that he was hit. Poof, gone. Absent body, present with the Lord. Are you here today and say, preacher, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved, but let me answer this. This will straighten it. Are you 100% right now, if you died right now, you have no doubt that you would go to heaven? If you doubt that, you need to take care of it. You need to right there where you're sitting say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day and come into my heart and save me right now, right here, this moment. And if you pray that prayer, God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word said, this is what it said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Instantaneously. You hear today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I would like to do that today. Let's all stand. Music's going to play. I'll be up front. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to invite you to come to Christ right now. Jesus loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son. Him. He came. God gave His only Son. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? Say, preacher, today I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. You walk out of this building today, it's because of your choice. You have a free will. I'm not going to drag you down. I'm not going to rip you down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just telling you, you have a choice. And that choice is not between your preacher or this preacher. It's between you and God. Are you on your way to heaven? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Why don't you come? We have trained people, the Word of God. We'll show them. We're not here to make Baptists out of here. We're here to show you for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. That's all we're here for. Why don't you come?